Hello, everyone. I'm Corey.
I'm Eric.
I'm Kate.
And I'm Alec.
And this is the Utini Avatar Show, proud partner of the Utini Network. We are discussing Avatar, The Last Airbender on Netflix. Now, this week, as our final episode of season one of the Utini Avatar Show, we are looking back at the entirety of the Avatar Last Airbender series on Netflix. This is the finale of our season of the show and also the sort of conclusion to, the Avatar The Last Airbender show. So thanks for tuning in. If you like what you hear, please leave us a review wherever you get your podcast. Before we get in this week's conversation, we do have to thank our sponsor of this week's episode, who has been our sponsor this entire season, which we appreciate, which is the United Patreon community. That is Utini's Patreon. We have lots of fun things happen over there. We have more things to tell you about that later on in the show. All right, friends, let's hit it. This is our finale, right? We're looking back at...
We made it.
Looking back at where we've been. I have to say, I want to talk about the experience just right out the gate a little bit, because we did something unique with this. I've never done this with a Netflix show, is I watched it incrementally.
We didn't binge it.
There's a lot of conversations about this. Now, we talked about this, I think, very briefly in one of our early episodes. Is what do you think about this as a society? Like, we did this in a very incremental way where you save it and you watch it, you talk about it around the water cooler. What do you think about that? Are you gonna try to use that in the future? Are you gonna go back to your binging ways? Do you prefer binging? Do you prefer this? What do you think, Kate?
Kate is going to sit and rot and binge. That is what I will probably forever do.
Alex shakes her head.
Absolutely like, no. Not. Here's what I'll say. When you don't have a podcast that you're doing, you're going to binge it. I think the reality is that if it's available, you will binge it because you have no reason to wait. But that doesn't make it right, okay? Just because everybody else is doing it doesn't make it okay. Did your parents ever tell you that?
Yeah, but you can't tell me that when the final season of Stranger Things comes out that you're not going to watch that whole damn thing.
Yeah, but you can't binge it all in one day anyway. It's ridiculous.
No, but you're going to watch about half the season in one sitting, and then the next day, because you can't stop thinking about it, you're
going
to finish the story.
It's creating instant gratification. It's part of the overall debacle of the world.
Maybe it's girl rot. I don't know. There is a hangover at the end of the binge, so.
I have a middle ground. If a show is released as a binge model, I will watch it as a binge. And if a show is released weekly, I will watch it weekly. Because I think what I see now in the aftermath of what we've done here, I think this show was definitely meant to be binged. I think Netflix, when they're making it, when you know you're making something to be released on one day, you do it differently. Like, one of my favorite things to do with Netflix is Bridgerton. I always watch every season of Bridgerton in one full day. It is a romance.
Really?
Yes. All
Did
three
you
seasons.
Do that?
Yep. It's always been on like
right,
weekend.
Corey.
We've done it
Next
in one
time
day.
Gone.
It's lovely. Now, if I waited week to week, would those characters stick with me? It's possible. But like, that's not how it was, I think, intentionally made from jump. Whereas like Succession, Game of Thrones, that was made to be a weekly show. So I think I'm in a... Again, when you're doing a podcast, who knows, things are different. But I think I'm going to try to follow the model that's being made by the creators, because
I think so too.
We're getting better at creating for the release model that is intended.
I think a decent model might be to binge it, and then if you want to talk about it in an episodic way, you kind of slowly reconsume it if you're going to try to...
I like that.
I also think that there's so much content nowadays that not everybody's watching the same thing. So those water cooler moments that we long for, that we used to have, I don't know if they happen anymore, really.
I do agree with you there.
They definitely do happen when you put yourself in situations that allow them to happen.
Yeah, if you go on like a Reddit channel or something, right? Or you're in a community involved around
that. Or they happen live. HBO Sunday nights, whether it's like Game of Thrones, Succession, White Lotus, like the hour after those are done, on like Twitter and Reddit and then Discords, like that's the water cooler, because everyone's like,
"That's right,
oh my god!" And the gifts go up, and this just happened. Oh my gosh! The day after the Red Wedding was a national holiday. You know what I mean? Like that.
But do you go to work and you talk to? Well, I mean, you might be.
I work for Corey. I go to work and suffer.
but like
our community doesn't literally happen around a water cooler anymore, Alec. It's not 1974.
It's that's.
Well,
that's just a device. All I'm saying is, it's like whenever the Game of Thrones was going on, I was working part time in the summer. I don't even remember what season it was, but I remember very distinctly it was the episode where Oberyn got his face smashed in, and I went to work the next day. I was working part time at the UGA bookstore, and I was in the back just like marking things for clearance, and like me and the dude next, we're talking the entire time about the episode and how crazy it was and what's going on. And like, I don't
sounds
have
like you had time to be working harder to me. I'm just saying, if you had all the time to be,
if
you got time
working hard or hardly working,
if you got time to lean, you got time to clean.
Okay. That's I was like, there's a rhyme.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I miss those times for sure, but I also feel like, the media that I watch and what all my friends are watching, like, they're both good, but they're a lot of times they don't match up.
Yeah,
that is true.
And it's artificial, I think, too. I think, like, you have to make your water cooler moments, like, with, like, whether it's with this podcast, like, we've done it, or if it's like a book club kind of thing. Like, if you're buying a book and it's not the year it came out, like, right now I'm reading a book that our buddy Charles over in the UT show told me about, and I'm texting him as I read it, and he's read it before, but I'm kind of having water cooler moments daily within micro doses. So, like, I think they're just kind of created in different ways, but I hear you. There's not the, you can go into a public space with a bunch of people like in the office in the morning and be like, catch the game last night. Like, I guess sports are that now.
Sports are, reality TV is.
The streaming services have control over this, and Netflix has chosen the binge model, and pretty much everybody else has not. Like, see, like Hulu or Disney Plus are all doing the weekly release thing, and I like that Hulu and Disney Plus have taken it away from us. They've taken it out of our hands, because it does seem like in shows like Avatar, where you can watch, or Stranger Things is another one for me on Netflix, when they release all one time, nobody comes up for air like in between the episode.
No.
You just binge it, and there's no conversations happening while it's happening even. But like at Utini, the current recurring show we have right now is The Bad Batch, the animated show. And it never fails. Every Wednesday today, like our Bad Batch channel just like lit up. Like, people talking about the new episodes that dropped. And that part is fun. And because they take away the control, you can't binge it. You can't say, I want to talk about this cool thing that happened, but I don't want to spoil it for someone who hasn't gotten to episode 5 by now. Like, it's hard to have that community interaction when it's not for
pros and cons. Pros and cons.
Pros and cons. I agree. Let's transition a little bit, talking about the meta from watching it. Let's talk about, this was an adaptation of an animated show. You know, I want to have a little bit of a conversation, just big picture. How do we feel about the adaptation, right? Like, what do you think worked not quite as well? What worked a whole lot better than the animated show? You know, we'll try to steer it as positive as we can here, because I think we all really enjoyed the show, but it's different.
Yeah, I was just, you know, kind of absorbing, you know, what people were feeling online. And I saw a breakdown on YouTube, and somebody was talking about how, like, the show does really well when it like stops, or when it expands on something within the universe that wasn't already touched on, or, you know, spends time kind of just expanding the universe. And where it does really poorly is where it tries to speed run through things, right? Where it's basically, when it's expanding, it's good, and when it's condensing, it's bad. And I really, really agree with that.
Yeah. I mean, I think some of the most consistent highlight, I'll say, the one that like every episode we knew was going to be a banger, was anything that expanded Fire Nation. Was anything with Ozai, anything where we saw that throne room, anything where we saw the soldiers, like the mask episode where we found out that was all Zuko based and how he saved the battalion, like all that stuff, I think was great. And I think world expansion and world enrichment, I think, is something that this does very well. And I hope that they continue that in the next season. And I'm kind of just going to agree with you right there, Alec, again, on the stuff that didn't work quite as well. Is, I think for me, when they tried to one-to-one things that were so iconic in the show, but maybe worked better in animation because they kind of defied physics and defied logic, which you can do a little easier in animation. I think that worked. I think that because we had more episodes in animation, the character relationships were a bit more fleshed out in the animated show. So I hope we actually, ironically, get a few more quieter moments in season 2 and 3. I think the soft moment, I think, was Zuko and Aang in the mask episode of live action was one of my favorites. Like, how'd you hold your quill? You know, how'd you do it? That was beautiful. And I hope that they let the actors really play with each other more in seasons 2 and 3 to grow those stronger.
I would agree with you, Eric. I think that's where I've been disappointed with the show is the lack of these quieter moments. Like, Katara still, to me, doesn't have much of a personality because we missed a lot of her quiet moments, and she is a more quiet character. I don't know if I agree with the condensing argument because they've done it well a few times. Like, the when Zuko walks into that, like, Earth Nation, Fire Nation thing. Yeah. They're like, the pirates and the, like, we know him. And they, like, condense everything really fast. Yeah, but it was actually really clever. I thought some of it's been done very clever.
They're sort of, I think you're onto it though, both of you guys. I think like when it's a more of a subtle nod to something mm-hmm. that can happen off screen mm-hmm. or something that was in the original show, like, you know,
it gives existence to it.
I think it would have been a little smoother if we had seen a little reference of, like, you know, the only way to get into the Earth Kingdom is, or get into Amashu is through the secret tunnels. And there was like you're talking about the legend of the two lovers, right? Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, that's exactly it. Then we moved on past it. Right? We didn't have to see it. We'd be like, oh yeah, cool reference. Like, yeah, the spirit world reference. Like, the spirit world, like, we speed ran it. Right? We put three different
spirits. Was also beautiful.
It was done. Yeah. That was one of the few examples, I think, that was done done incredibly, incredibly well. But there was a lot of moments that it felt like,
rushed.
It felt a little rushed.
The first Amashu.
Yeah.
Was rushed.
The mechanism.
Because obviously we're going kind of there. They say, like, obviously we're going back to Amashu plenty in season two. So I wonder how our relationship to that city will change because we didn't get as much in the first season. Like, how will they supplement that knowing it's going to be a major player in season two?
Oh, man.
Back to Amashu?
They said, yeah. Oh, yeah.
We have to.
Oh, dear.
It fell, baby.
If you thought Jet was pissed the first time,
oh no,
Jet's
furious. He shows back up in Ba Sing Se, doesn't he?
He does.
He's brainwashed.
Yeah, he gets brainwashed by Ba Sing Se in the animated show. Interestingly, my favorite stat the most shocking stat that I've seen is that the runtime of the animated season is almost identical to the runtime of the live action show. That feels mind blowing.
Yeah,
that's even possible. But I mean, that would have been crazy and weird.
Yep. Well, and also with animation, your budget is also your imagination to an extent. Obviously mm-hmm. you need to pay the animators, but the travel, the sets, the, like, you can if you can draw it, you can do it, which I think also helps that runtime, like, feel mm-hmm. different because you can fit more characters, you can fit more vistas. Mm-hmm. And
so you have eight episodes versus what, like 22 episodes or something. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Like, there's the way to think about it is you have eight episodes. If they just start, like, cutting to each little different story, it's going to feel so weird.
It would feel weird. Yeah. It doesn't work in live action.
But
absolutely, I think, not.
And with the cartoon, you have 22 episodes that have 22 starts to show 22 different stories, and that's what they do, mm-hmm. right? So, like, of course, yeah, we're not going to be able to put all of that in there, even if the runtime's the same. And it still felt like a speed run sometimes.
It did, 100%. I think this has been one of the only shows. It might be the only show I can think of, actually, the only show ever that was truly just a banger in animation that they made, like, a true adaptation of live action for. Like, there's just not very many that, like, that truly tried to copy it. You know what I mean? Like, there mm-hmm. were, the dialogue was the same at times, the characters were the same.
So,
like,
on this level,
this level, like, it was like in a lot of ways. You know, it was like I would say like a 60-ish, 65% one-to-one comparison at times. Yeah. And
because, like, even if they remake animation, they usually remake it animated. Mm-hmm.
So you've seen the episodes now, right? You've finished season one.
Yeah.
So if somebody asks you the question, who is this show for? How do you answer that?
People who haven't seen the animated show. I think it's teenagers. not in a mean way. I think, like, legitimately. I think you're making it for an audience who doesn't know the mythology and isn't bringing in the expectations. And I think that, obviously, all of us saw it. You can enjoy it. But the prime audience, I think, are teens that were like five or 6 years old when the original came out. So they didn't watch it and now want to binge it with their friends over a weekend. I think that is your audience.
They released some of the statistics and stuff about it being the most watched. I know, they watched.
Well, no, it's actually 60 to 70-year-olds. It's actually grand grand grand.
It's grand grand's audience. Yeah, 100%. No, they released the stats of just saying it was how viewed it was. So I was just going to ask the question, like, what percentage of that viewership do you think watched the original series? Because I actually think it was probably really freaking high.
I think
High. I assume it's clear, astronomical.
I think that is what happened. I think the intended audience for the narrative, I think it helps if you didn't see it. I want to make that distinction.
One of the reasons that I would agree with Eric is just the amount of spoon feeding we get in this show.
Yeah. And that's kind of why I bring up the statistics thing, because I think that's a little goofy in my opinion. Like, when you have a new show like this, of course the vast majority of the audience is going to be people that have some experience with the show. I mean, I just can't imagine that 51% of the people that watch this show were like, oh yeah, I've heard of Avatar, I'm going to watch this. Yeah. Like, I agree. Really doubt that's the case. I could be wrong. I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. Like, Netflix would never tell us that. Like, but, you know, if it was supposed to be, the show, I agree, like, kind of coming up with who this type of show is for is hard and sort of sets the tone of the entire narrative. And it seems like sometimes they want to be... They want to be a show for everybody, whether you've seen the show or not. Other times it just wants to be for the, you know, animated fans. Other times it wants to be for someone who's never seen it. And I think that makes it a little wishy-washy in the storytelling.
Yeah.
I don't know who I want this show to be for, because, like, I'm thinking about my nephew here, and they're about, like, 10, 9, 10. And I'm like, I don't know if he's ready for this.
Yeah, there's so much about it.
I don't know. I don't know if this is actually a kid show.
I know.
So, like, this is actually quite interesting. I don't know if it was intended to be a kid show.
Yeah.
No, because they made a big deal about them wanting this to be, like, their Game of Thrones. Like, their fantasy epic style. And
they light too many people on fire.
Well, and this is right. and I think it's a deal of trying to do a lot. Like, when you're trying to please every master, you please none of them, right? And I think...
Yeah.
This first season, I'm glad they're getting seasons 2 and 3, because season 1 is kind of like when, a little behind the scenes, when we are working on our YouTube videos for Utini and Katie didn't, like, you test a lot of videos and then you figure less out and adjust them.
Yeah.
With the binge model, they had to make all the episodes. And they're like, we'll see what people like. So I think
hopefully this sticks.
Yeah. I think we saw them testing a lot of things for a lot of different audiences. And season
2,
we'll see if they kind of lock into a singular path.
Yeah, I think, Eric, I think you touched on this in our very first episode, just kind of setting up for us watching the series. And, you know, what is the benefit of making a live action? Right? You've got such a good, established, animated.
10 out of 10. It's a risk, dude.
It's a huge risk, right? So you know, why do you make this? You know, I think, you know, again, just something I heard somebody talking about with it is, you know, you make it for adults who feel like they can't watch cartoons but want to still enjoy the story. You know, it's like,
maybe so. That's interesting.
It's definitely not a kid's show, right? There's so much violence.
Yeah.
I mean, last episode we literally talked about how Iroh burned Zhao alive. You know?
Yep. Yeah, Katara's mother was very brutal. Maybe even crossing the line.
Yep. I know. The Momo thing. Like,
there's a lot. Yeah,
I know. Pushback. It was almost incongruous.
Eric's talked about it too, where it's like sometimes it goes maybe a little too far, you know, like it's not necessary, but they do it anyway.
I think this is a common issue just in general, like not with the show, because I think I really like the show overall.
Yeah.
I think this is a common issue with TV storytelling and movie storytelling in 2024, is streaming services have really just kind of changed the nature of TV. This was as much of a test for Netflix as it was an experience for the viewers.
Absolutely.
That sucks, right? I mean, it's kind of...
Is that what you want?
It's corporate. It feels very corporate. It's like, let's test the users. Let's do the stats. Let's read the watch time. Let's look at the click-through rates. It feels very corporate, right? And, like, I would have rather just very artistic creators been like, you know what? I really just want to make a really great Avatar show and do it justice. But it didn't feel like... There were definitely moments that felt like I can feel like producers looking over their shoulder in scenes, you know what I mean?
With
the Green Grand epilogue in there, like, what if she just read it? Like, you know, you got to do that stuff. And I think we see that a lot in TV now.
Well,
but before we get too hung up on that, I do want to talk about some of the growth we saw specifically from a couple key things, like, 'cause like you guys have said, there are some big scenes that were hugely different from the original show that worked really, really well. So one of the questions I want to ask you guys is, are there any specific characters that you thought was like, I would maybe argue this was done better than the animated show rather than even than...
Yes.
Caitlin?
So I would argue that Zuko is probably being done better than the animated show right now.
Ooh.
And on the flip side, I think Katara is being done worse than the animated show right now.
Let's come back to Katara. I do want to talk about Zuko, though, because I think I made the comment in one of our early episodes that Zuko is, in my opinion, the greatest character arc in animation history. I genuinely believe that.
I think a lot of people would agree with that.
Yes, mm-hmm. Genuinely believe that. But do you think the show is doing it better, even?
I think they are, because the many times that I have cried during this show has been for him and his story and how they've been telling it so far.
Yeah, him. Really appreciate the way that they're playing him and Iroh together and the father figure. Mm-hmm. There's the one scene when I think about both of them is going to be when Iroh finds Zuko in the ship and Zuko's presumed dead and he's like, so what's the plan? And he's like, the plan is to capture the Avatar. The plan is to get my rightful place on the throne. And I was like, so no plan. And he's like, I'm working on it.
I loved it.
Yeah.
You know, it's
fun. It's funny. It's so funny. We totally changed our tune on Iroh and Zuko too. Because early in the season, we're like, oh, I don't know about this. Like,
yeah. Well, I think they improved. Yeah, I think it's like
a lot. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the writing improved vastly.
Yes.
The dialogue. Yes. The writing and the dialogue between them.
You can only say the words on the page.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
George Lucas would know.
Yeah. Right.
The early episodes were the prequels, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But the sand is coarse.
I know.
Yeah.
But then later on we get friggin' bangers like You Were My Brother and Everything I Need Is on This Boat. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like the middle of the season with Iroh and Zuko was like Ridge of the Sith, man.
Yeah.
Some of the lines between them are just phenomenal.
Yeah, I think Zuko for me is easily the best character of the season. I think I won't go so far as to say he's better than the animated show, only because I agree, Corey. I think his animated arc is the best and, like, one of the best character arcs I've seen. So, like, that bar is just impossible, but I think he does the best. I will say the character that is done better only because of the expansion is Fire Lord Ozai for me. I think he was a shadow for season one for the most part. You know,
it was a mystery.
Yeah, and eventually we get Mark Hamill voicing him, which is great, but I think the direction they took to bring him out of the shadows pretty early, change up his relationship with Zuko, make him a much more intentional, hard father. Like, I really enjoy him, and I think they're going to definitely use him a lot more in seasons 2 and 3. So he's the one I think that benefited the most from this format.
I don't necessarily agree with this, but I think you could definitely make a case that Admiral Zhao is done better.
Man, that's so
I think.
Yeah.
I think there are definitely people that are going to watch this and walk away feeling like he was done, because it's such a different character to me.
If you like this type of character, then clearly it's better. Because if it's purely preference, you're absolutely right.
But I do feel like the character that I'm most anticipating to probably surpass their animated version is Azula. Because they have spent so much time building her up.
I'm interested.
I feel like when we get to season 2, she is going to be... Well, she's definitely going to be probably the main character. They'll probably focus more on her than they do on Aang a lot.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I feel like this first season was not book water.
Yeah,
book fire.
Definitely not.
It was kind of book fire in a lot of ways. And I was shocked as how much Azula we got, especially in the later part of the season. And I also totally changed my tune on her as well. I mean, I was
kind
of... You know, the facial features and structure. Like, she has such a, like, iconic look, I think. And
she has, in the live action, she has a softer face.
She does.
And
it works.
The angles are not as
particular. That's right. And I think it could have been one of those things early on where she just didn't have a lot of dialogue and a lot to say.
Yeah.
And, like, we got kind of hung up on the appearance, which happens, I think, sometimes. And I felt the same way about the Ahsoka TV show when it came out. I'm like,
she
looks weird.
You
like
the cartoon.
What's up with her forehead? I don't like it, you know? But, like, because you're used to seeing the cartoon character, right? So,
but the more you see them talk and act and...
Yep.
I truly think the lightning scene
so cool.
Towards the end of the season was maybe one of the best.
Is that what,
like,
changed?
CGI's,
like,
I don't know.
Transition?
No, I think
what changed for you?
I think it was the scene where I was like, oh shit, I actually really like Azula was when she was like trying to manipulate Ozai, and he was more than coy whispers and manipulation or whatever he said.
They flesh her out by fleshing Ozai out, and then they also do a great job of using her friends in a way to humanize her.
Yes.
To show she's really still, just a teenager.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and all of that is character development for Zuko. Like, it's truly brilliant.
Well, I think it will definitely end up being that way, but I feel like her character arc is going to be really fun. It is going to drive a lot of the next season.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right there with you.
I think so too. What about some of the world building elements in this TV show? I do want to come back and talk about Katara I think next, and some of the bending, I think, is the next little conversation. Let's talk about the world building for a second. The world bending.
We got hell bending. Why not world bending?
I know. Seriously, we've had some discussions about this, but I'm just as pleased as I was earlier in this season with the sort of different depictions of culture and that sort of thing. I mean, there was like a little bit of there was a subtle sense of that in the original animated show, but
not as heavy.
Not as heavy as this. And this is very different, right?
Mm-hmm. I don't know if it had to be like explicitly told to me as a child. Maybe that was the difference, but like I didn't see as many cultural shifts in the animated show as I did here.
I think it's definitely something where, this is an animated show, right? Originally, that, I would hear people talking of like, I was young and I had a babysitter, but it was like the only thing that me and my babysitter could watch together. Or, like I was a younger kid and I had an older sibling, and it was like a way for us to bond. Maybe one of you guys even said that when we were talking originally. Mm-hmm. But this show is it did a great job originally in the animated of kind of throwing in a lot of adult elements into a kid's show, mm-hmm. so that even the adults who could read at a higher level of what was happening could find things to really gravitate towards.
Yeah, that's true. It feels like every location that we went to felt very distinct as well. Omashu felt very distinct. They captured that well.
How about that?
Kyoshi felt distinct.
It did. It's one of the cool things that I think in the animated show you have a little more freedom to, because you can just draw this crazy city and all the things. And there was a distinct culture and feeling amongst all the different people, I think. Like the water tribe felt a very specific way, right? It was a sort of kind of old school tribal type of vibe, right? And then Omashu is a little more modernized, and it's the mechanist, and captured that really well, I thought.
I think in truth, the live action show really only made a huge change with the Earth Nation.
Yeah.
The Water Tribe and the Air Tribe are basically the exact same in their appearance.
Yeah.
I think the Fire Nation is about 98% of the way there.
Yeah.
But the Earth Nation is very different. So
the Earth Nation has the most diversity in it.
Yeah, definitely.
Water Nation is very indigenous. It's very like Inuits and things like that. And then we move to like the Fire Nation, and it also feels very Imperial Japan. Mm-hmm. It feels like that. And then the Air Nation, which also feels Buddhist. It feels very like Mongolian or something.
Well, it's Tibetan monks. Yeah.
Yeah, Tibetan.
Yeah, I think so too. Let's swing around from kind of the world building and talk about the bending, because I do want to talk a lot about that. Overall, I would say I want to talk about kind of the visualization of the bending, because we talked about this a lot throughout the this season of the Avatar show. We've all been very impressed, I think, with the CGI and the martial arts. And what did you guys think about the sort of overall depiction of this? This was a common complaint and criticism of the
M. Night Shyamalan movie. Oh my goodness, it was so slow.
The movie that must not be named.
Yeah, right.
Any thoughts about sort of the depiction of bending?
Really nice overall. I think I really enjoy the look of it. I think we talked a little bit in our talk about the finale about the lack of kind of training-ish. I would have liked to see a little bit of the nuts and bolts. I think that they do a really nice job in the animated show of showing like, and then you push and pull the water, and then you do this, and then you get to kind of see it evolve into like the tornadoes and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But for what we got, because critiquing something that didn't happen is not helpful. But for what we got on screen, I thought it looked really good. I thought Aang, especially, the airbending was very powerful. I see why it worked. Again, things like fire, the firebending looked terrifying. We didn't get as much earthbending. I think that's the one where I'm still a little curious as to how that will eventually look. It's the one that looked a little, you know, probably the most CG of them. But overall, I had a really good time with the action scenes, and I hope they get bigger and broader in seasons to come.
Yeah, I'd echo all that. I mean, I think I was really impressed with the CG, the bending. I thought it looked pretty real, and the way they moved looked real. I mean, they clearly did their work with the martial arts background stuff. Like, man, I don't think I have really a lot to complain about the bending at all. There was not much that looked goofy or fake or weird, and that was the hugest complaint about the M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Have we finally hit a point where there's enough ability in CGI and post, and now with this show, even some pre-production stuff that's getting done, to where this kind of show is going to hold up 40 years from now? You know,
man, I don't know.
I don't know what 40 years from now is going to be.
Yeah. No, I know, but you know how when you go back and watch like an early 2000s movie, you're like, oof.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. It's like, oh, I love this movie, but man, that does not hold.
I think the only thing that'll stay is, this is my old man yells at cloud, is practical effect movies will stay longer than CG, because CG will keep evolving. Like, even Mando season one that came out, we're like, this, the volume's amazing, and now we're like, oh, now I can see the volume 3 years later. Yeah. But like Lord of the Rings still looks sensational, and that's 25 years old. It was all practical.
Gollum looks more real
than a lot of characters now. But I digress. I think that we're getting closer, but we're not quite there.
I would be curious to. I hope they add more of the martial arts style, especially when we go into Earth Kingdom, because it is a distinct, like, different style than what we've seen. I think the Fire Nation bending has been great.
Yep.
And I hope they keep developing Aang to be this kind of evasive bending. I wish we saw a little bit more of that.
Yes.
But I hope they keep the martial arts style.
I think that's a good point to jump in too and ask the sort of a looming question. I think that we and a lot of other people who are listening to the show or watching the Avatar show have, which is, how in the hell do we make it through an entire season without seeing Avatar Aang bend anything but air?
Legitimately shocking.
I don't.
Legitimately know. Shocking.
I was really upset with it for a while, but after rewatching the original series, like, there was. I talked about it in the last episode, but they still end the animated show with Katara telling Paku, like, well, he still has to learn waterbending. Like, he hasn't actually learned how to waterbend yet. So I think, you know, for what we did get to see, it doesn't bother me as much. The only thing that's going to bother me is, I know when this next season starts, he's going to be able to waterbend.
I know.
It's gonna hurt the
sheer absence of it in the season made it a louder and a bigger deal.
But one thing we know with child actors, they age fast.
Oh yeah,
so
yes. Do that.
So they're gonna have to either just allow that to be part of the story, like large portions of time go by. Or they're going to have to film season 2 and 3 at the same time, do that Lord of the Rings stuff where they get everything done and then spend a lot of time in post and then, you know, pace it out as best they can.
Yeah. We get to the beginning of season 3 and Aang's like,
hey, Katara, we got to go to the Fire Nation.
When that kid gets a deep voice and there's no coming back.
Yeah.
Sozin's comet is coming, Katara. I need to learn how to reach
it. Like, I'm still 12.
Oh man!
Yip yip.
Not a big fan. Yeah.
Wait, do we get a single yip yip?
Yip yip.
Yeah. Sokka said it.
Yes, he did in the last. Yeah. The finale. Wow.
We got a couple.
What a crumb. You know. What? Yeah, just like, a crumb to get.
Here you go, nerds. Dig it.
No, I'm genuinely shocked. It wouldn't have taken much. I don't think. I think we could have had a couple small scenes like where Aang tried to learn how to do it. I mean, we had the one scene where Katara tried to
learn
from the squirrel. Which resolved my issue. Seeing her train.
Like, yeah, all we have to do, and this is what I hope they continue to do, is like the practical effects and the CGI. That's beautiful. It's great. That's honestly, Yes, I want to see that, but that isn't what I care about in the story. I want to see him learn the foundations, which is like that back and forth movement of water, that breath work that Toph teaches him about. Like the stance, like if he doesn't have a grounded stance while learning is earthbending, I'm going to be upset.
We're so
all
old
they have
straight.
To do.
Like, why
I know.
The kid learn that.
Look, I've,
I can't even dribble.
I was
just show him how to dribble.
I was raised on shonen power escalation animes. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. All we have to do to fix this, to be clear, is we if we open season two.
Move.
The very first scene of season two needs to be shirtless Aang and Katara on a beach.
Montage.
Pushing pool.
That's it.
And Katara.
I know that's what we're going to see.
Katara comes up behind him and says, Aang, you're really getting good at the waterbending foundation. That's really all
that's
I need.
Really,
That's literally
that is it.
That's exactly what's going to happen.
Anything should have happened in this first season.
The first season of the animated show, is that where we have the disgraced Fire Nation guy and we learn? Yeah, I really missed that character.
Corey mentioned that.
Yes, it's the it's called
he burns
at the traitor.
Yeah, he is
deserter.
He is,
the deserter.
Yeah, deserter
the episode. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good
episode. I really missed that character this season. I could have really appreciated
it's a standalone.
Season.
It would have been hard to do, but there is this nature of this matter of like it's hard to learn bending and you have to really focus and that was missing. I
thought it was interesting because that was like it's the bending that he picks up the fastest.
And he didn't talk about it at all in the show, right? Like other people did.
Yeah,
Taco was like,
I need
why haven't you been?
Well, it sets up his fear of his own power.
I know, but we didn't even do that though, right?
Yeah,
in the season. He didn't talk about this at all.
He was an airbender, and I think the whole season he really just he was the airbender of the group, and it wasn't like I saw that we have to get to the Water Tribe, we got to stop the Fire Nation, and just for the structure of the story, I missed the idea that was because Aang has to learn the other elements. Like I think we could have sprinkled that in just a little bit more,
It was truly absent.
I'm starting to question whether he needs to learn.
I know. Does he actually
the four
learn?
Bending elements to defeat
Hey, look, as Zhao said, Master of Three Elements doesn't sound as good, does it?
Yeah. He needs to sound cool, guys. That's really the point. You're
he
totally
has to get to four.
In the animated first season, Aang is in denial, right? That's the theme of the season. He's like, I don't have to learn this. But even that wasn't in this right.
The
like,
war isn't real to him. And
I know. It's not real. And there's all that element. So like, even in this live action show, we didn't even have any of the, Katara is trying to get him. Like, come on, you really should practice this with me. He's like, no, I'll do it later. None of that even.
That's true.
It was avoided, weirdly. It felt so absent. Yeah. It was very.
But tell the hey, writers, you really got to write some water bending. I don't want to write that right now. I don't want to do that. I'll do it later.
It just didn't do it at all. It was very weird. And I think another way that you could maybe explain this is that the passage of time and mastery of elements was certainly a problem, I think, in the season that I would really like to see improved a little bit. Caitlin, you brought up Katara earlier, and it seems like the internet, this is the probably most criticized character, I would argue, of anybody that's in the show, is the sort of depiction of Katara, the sort of fast progression of her bending without even implying that things have happened off screen. What do you think about Katara, someone that's near and dear to your heart, Caitlin? And what do you think they can do a little better, I think, in season two?
I think they just... Okay, this is probably, like, one of my favorite characters ever in fiction, in the fictional world.
Well deserved.
Like this is a very important character to me. I have been disappointed with her and...
What do they need to do better, you think? How do we need to evolve her character, I think, in future seasons?
They almost need to, like, mature her faster. I read something to you this morning, Corey, where it was like... Sorry, I'm going to get therapeutic for a second.
Do it.
I read, Corey, this thing that was like, if you have kids and they're, like, immature and you think that they're immature for their age... But because they weren't as mature as you were, that just means that you stopped the generational trauma and they're actually being kids. But maybe this is where I feel like Katara has not been well developed yet, because she has been through a severe amount of trauma. Her mom died right in front of her. Her dad left. She's been raised by her brother and grand-gran, and she's basically a latchkey kid. Like, that's what she is. And she should feel more resentment. She should feel more angry. She should be... She's finally off on her own and independent. She should be expressing this anger and resentment. Like, there's this female rage that is just not portrayed well yet. And maybe that's a maturing thing. Like,
maybe so.
She's still a child right now. And as a child, like, being a girl child, like, we don't notice it as much. But as we grow up, we do notice it.
Yeah.
She was probably the most mature and adult character, I think, in the original.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they call her mom.
Yeah.
She's clearly the leader of the group. Like, wherever they go and they land, she's the leader. And I think in the Netflix show, it really did feel like Aang was the leader. I feel like he was the one directing, and Katara was, like, along for the adventure. And in the finale where she was like, "You're my family. I can't lose you." I'm like, it kind of didn't ring as true as I wanted it to, because I didn't see her kind of having that level of depth with him. And also in the final battle, people are like, "We're going to follow Katara." And I'm like, I get why we should, but she doesn't really have the gravitas that built, because that's one of the best things, like you said, Kate, about Katara, as she's written originally, is that she grows from a person who's angry that she doesn't have power to a person that unquestionably leads. And it's really, even by the end of book one, like, she doesn't wait for the whole series. She is doing it.
Well, we miss some, like, pivotal moments of her character that we get in the animated series. The part where she steals the scroll from the pirates.
Yeah.
You know, and you get
her,
to see, like,
independence.
Yeah.
And she tries to teach herself and fails. Mm-hmm. Remember? She opens the scroll on the stump, and she almost gets it wet, and it's, like, a whole thing, and she sucks at it. But we went from like, not even being able to hold water to she's, like, slinging stuff around very quickly. And
I taught myself. I'm like...
You have to show that stuff. You have to show it. You can't just tell it.
Show, not tell. Show, not tell.
Right. Yeah. I would agree with
visual medium, baby.
I would agree with that. I would like to see more training.
Listen, she has to level up in her anger in order to bloodbend.
Oh my God, yeah. She's like,
if they do not write that into the show, that was probably one of my favorite things about Katara.
I cannot see season one Katara right now.
No,
seeing bloodbending.
That
would
be
so weird. I can't see it at all.
And that is season two, is it not?
It's season three.
Oh, it is
season three. Zuko takes her back.
Okay, great, right.
Yeah.
Well, she learns
it. We got to get her there.
It's at the very end.
No, she learns it from the witch, though.
The witch.
She does.
But then
she is bloodbended.
But she uses it on the guy that she thought killed her.
But she uses it on the witch to get away from her for a second. Is she not?
Oh, yeah, she does.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think that's
out of torment.
She has to unlock, this Katara has to unlock that rage, like you're saying, Kate. Like,
and then overcome it. Right? That's key for her character development, is she's angry and she has to overcome her.
She has to channel
forgive. She has to forgive. Like, that's the message, right? But yes, it doesn't seem like she seems like too weak of a character right now to forgive, to have the angry. It's not weakness. It's
not weakness. It's just, like, very different.
It's just empty, perhaps. Flat, or something is there that was missing, I think, in the original. Like, who is the live action Katara right now? Who is she? Like, what are her values?
Not sure yet.
Stand for? I'm not sure yet. Yeah. I think we need to see her evolve. We see more of her story. We've heard
Sokka
it from Sokka
has developed a lot.
Yes.
Yeah.
Same thought. Yes, he has developed a lot. And he's coming around. He's had mentors. But
he's
no one has
questioned
mentor
himself.
Katara so far.
And maybe that is it. We have not seen her be vulnerable yet. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what we're missing.
Paku should have trained her, I think. If I could change one small thing about the season, is she should have kicked his ass early in season in episode 7. And then there should have been a moment where he's like, "All right, I'm going to teach you this, and this is what you do." And then we just zoom out and we see him training together. That's it.
Yeah, like some humility or something.
Yes, and then move on. Like,
also, guys, I do want to correct. You were right. The bloodbending does not happen until season 3, episode 8 in the original. So,
we do
have quite a while until it needs to happen. So That is
room.
That is
perfect. There's room to improve Katara, I think. I think this is the character that I hope gets the most improved award by the end.
You know, oh, yeah.
I think there's certainly potential for that.
Cool. No question.
Before we talk any more about most improved characters, I do want to take a break to thank this week's sponsor of the show. We'll be right back. Hello, friends. We're taking a short break from the show to talk to you about our vibrant Patreon and Discord community, which we call The United. The United is the heart of the Uteniverse. We're fans of Star Wars, nerd culture, and even sports unite. It's all about diving deep into the fandoms we love with a spirit of passion and positivity alongside other fans who share those same values. Now on Patreon, you'll find an exclusive world of content. From behind-the-scenes peeks at our YouTube channel productions to ad-free versions of all of our podcasts alongside other insider updates. It's really your all-access pass to what goes on behind the curtain and on the team at Uteni. But the United is more than just content. It's a community. With features designed to bring us closer, we're building a space where every fan has a voice. As we look to the future, your feedback and involvement will shape the direction of the United. So this is really your chance to be part of a community that's at the heart of our mission, fostering a sense of belonging that's essential for every fan. If you're ready to join the United, head over to our site, uteni.com, to find our Discord, or to patreon.com/uteni to jump into Patreon. Let's make this community stronger together and dive into a world where your passion for fandom becomes a shared adventure. Now, let's get back to the show. There are two more small points that I want to hit before we finish up our sort of look back at the entire season of Avatar: The Last Airbender. And I want to talk about the theme of war, because this was, in my opinion, a stark difference from the animated show. We've talked about this a little bit already, about some of the violence depicted, but there has been a much more obvious effort to paint a picture of a world that is at war and has been at war for a long time in this show. And I remember in the animated show, it was kind of like in The Phantom Menace when Padme Amidala says, she's like, "We have to go back. My people are dying." And you're like, "Where? Where are they? We haven't seen them. Like, are you sure they are? Because I don't know. And I'm the viewer." So, you know, and like it was this kind of weird thing. The war is going on. It's been happening for 100 years, but there's no evidence of war. You know what I mean? There's no Fire Nation. You know, you run into little guys every once in a while and they want to fight you, but that was it, right? But in this show, we are at war. Are we open?
Oh, it's there.
The show with the annihilation and genocide of the airbenders. We've seen the soldiers talking to Iroh. We've seen soldiers marking into Amashu. We saw the fleet siege of the north. Like, it feels like we're at war, honestly.
Yeah.
It's different. That's different.
Yeah. And I think
it's almost refreshing.
Yeah. It's refreshing. And also, I think, weirdly, gave into some of the tonal inconsistencies we've talked about when it got too much or something. I think they're still finding that balance because they're like, it is war. Like, when it hit, it really hit, and it was very impactful. And then I think they're like, and then we're going to Game of Thrones the fight. We're like, oh, no. You don't have
to dial it back.
You don't have to dial it back a little.
You don't have to get too gruesome, too murderous.
I hate that.
Hey, we didn't get any dragons in this, okay? There were dragons in the animated, so.
I mean, just wait.
We have a few more seasons, Sam.
Yeah.
But in the animated, you get to see the blue dragon, you know, take
aim. Oh, that's true. Like,
oh, you're talking about Toya.
With Roku. Anyway,
yeah, we don't get to see a dragon in this one, so is it really Game of Thrones?
Yeah. But I completely agree. I love that the war feels real, as it should. I think that since the show came out as well, I think that almost the responsibility of how war is portrayed in media based on world events as well, like, is very much in the minds of folks. Like, you can't just be, this is the fun backdrop for a story. Like, war is bad, especially for young kids. And I think they handled that very deftly for the most part.
Yeah. I think the character that embodies kind of the most of it is Iroh. And we get to see that with his wonderful scene when he's captured by the Earth Nation and being transported on the back of that little carriage, you know, and he has a scene about, you know,
one of my favorite moments.
We were at war, I was a soldier. No, you were a butcher.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Torch the East Wall. My brother was there. This is violent language. Yeah. We talked about that.
Yeah, he was 19, you know, and right after getting a story about how he was giving away his rations to the kids.
It was beautiful. It was good.
I think this show has always kind of done a good job, and I think they've just done it better in the live action, is not romanticizing war and really telling the story of the lasting effects it has culture, on people.
That's true. And there's been a lot of denial from, I think, Zuko in the animated show about like the wars happening. And you're like, this is him. But like Zuko is kind of living it, and you can see him kind of already kind of struggling.
He's tired
himself.
Yeah.
He needs to rest. The war has been tiring.
Man needs rest.
I also appreciate that. I appreciate that contrast with Iroh as well, because this is one of the things that it told but didn't show in the animated show was Iroh kind of coming to terms with, maybe I'm on the wrong side, right? Like in this show, it looks like it happened much earlier in his career, and we're seeing it, and he talks about the challenge of war, and it changes you, and all that is right out the gate. And I really appreciate that. Yeah. That difference. And it was much needed, actually. Missing from the original show.
It works. I mean, it just implies that basically as soon as he lost his son, he gave up on the war and gave up on, you know, wanting to be a part of it, and and lost in any reason he had to participate. And that part of him died. Like, he died that day. And now his sole reason for living is to help Zuko.
Yep.
Yep. 100%.
It just hits, man.
And so you see what I like about Iroh's character is that he's not trying to force Zuko to be anything.
Yeah.
You know, he's allowing Zuko to find it on his own.
Yeah.
But he's kind of guiding him through it to just keep him alive. You know what I mean?
Yep. Absolutely.
The last thing I want to do before we wrap up our show tonight is I want to look forward to the future. I want to kind of predict and hopes and dreams for... You know, Netflix has announced two more seasons, at least. I did finally see that video, by the way, where the guy that plays Ozai like tells everybody in the Zoom call. Have you guys seen it?
So good.
Yeah.
It's very wholesome and fun. And the fact that it's Ozai just makes it really weird. Like, I've not seen the guy like very much. And
So sweet.
Dude, what a zaddy.
Yes.
A zaddy, for sure. Are there any specific story arcs? Characters that happened in the animated show that you would like to maybe see in season 2 and 3?
One thing I don't think we touched on at all last episode, but it was at the very end, is they do bring up Sozin's Comet.
Yes. Yeah, they do.
But they do it, you know, we've been talking about this Game of Thrones thing, because they threw it out there. Now it's known that they have this, like that's their benchmark that they want to hit. So now every time I hear something, all I think about is Game of Thrones. So he says, like, the comet is coming. You know, it's like their version of winter is coming, right?
Oh, the winter is coming.
Like, now the comet, but we don't have a timeline. We don't have a day. We don't know how fast. So
that's true.
I like the way that they put it off too. The guy said, like, we've only recently discovered how to read the stars. That was cool. It's like, oh, okay, that's why we haven't heard about it until the final episode of the season. You know what I mean? Like, I was kind of goofy on the news, but I kind of liked it, honestly.
Yeah.
I mean, they're like, you can see the actor progression in engineering and like science within the Fire Nation that they're pushing, you know, and now, you know, now they're capturing other engineers from other nations and, you know, working on things to improve their war efforts. So I, you know, that storyline, I don't know what we're going to see. I don't know how fast. I would imagine that it's one thing I'm certain of is it won't be the same as the animated.
Yeah.
But I think they're going to, with the live action, they're going to have to figure out how to either film this quickly with the actors aging, or they're going to have to space it out more. So I would imagine that will have a decent amount of time before the comet shows up. Enough time for Aang to learn, to grow a little bit, and for them to make the story feel natural with him aging.
Yeah. I really hope this. I don't know how they're going to do this just budgetarily. The Aang Zuko Dance with the Dragons episode is such a great moment.
Pivotal.
And there's a couple reasons why I think it won't happen. One, the budget of getting two giant dragons for basically a single kind of one-off part of the arc is very hard, but they might be able to do it because it's short, so it kind of works both ways. Also, it's all about training and all about kind of slow, methodical improvement, which we all want.
We don't do that, though.
Yeah, no, it's so.
We don't do that here. We don't do that.
I hope they'll do it. Obviously, they'll bring Zuko into Team Avatar and like help him evolve in some way with them. So maybe they'll do that as more of like an animated story that they tell. But I would really love to have that full go to the place, go up the steps, do the choreography, bring the dragons in. Like it's such a great moment. But my
we'll see. It's that's how Zuko learns the true meaning of firebending, right? Is
yeah,
dragons.
So they're the original source, aren't they?
He loses his fire, a little bit spark,
his anger. Like he's not angry anymore. So how does he find it?
It's a beautiful story.
Oh, it's so good.
This is kind of a one. Do we get Sparky Sparky Boom Boom Man in season two?
Season one. It's season one in the animated show.
Is it?
It is. Yeah,
no.
It's very early. Yeah, it is. 100%. I guarantee it.
What? Okay.
No, I think it's.
I like your funny words, Magic Man.
Oh, man. Oh, you know what? Actually.
I think it's season three.
I might be wrong about that.
Oh, gosh. Is that season three?
I'm thinking of the guys early on that attacked Aang.
No, Cyclops, man.
Kyoshi. The Swamp?
Village, who I'm thinking of. No, I'm thinking of that. The Kyoshi Village people.
Oh, there
was a group of warriors early.
Yeah. No, not them.
Sparky Boom Boom Man.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't last for a while. He gets his ass kicked pretty early.
I know, but that's such
a... They finally get beaten in season three, I think.
Right? I just love that they establish, like, there's four types of bending, and then they're like, oh, but here's this one-off dude who can do this thing that nobody else can do. And here's this lady who has arms that are made of water, and here's this dude. You know, it's like, there's all this weird shit that you're like,
yeah,
okay, but okay, but you can also blood bend. Okay, but you can metal bend. Okay, but you can lava bend. Okay, but you can, you know, it's like...
Ancillary bending is responsible for the overturning of the Fire Lord. The thing that Aang learns from the turtle is what he uses.
Oh, energy bending, yeah.
Yes, energy bending. It's not even the four elements, right? It's something else. So, yeah. I think my biggest hope for season two is I really want to spend some time in Ba Sing Se. And in fact, I'm a little worried about this. Like, Ba Sing Se is such a huge part of the animated show. Like, literally, like a third of the season takes place in or around Ba Sing Se.
There are no episodes in Ba Sing Se.
That's right.
There are no episodes in Ba Sing Se.
And I, too, have seen some of the comments about how, yes, we're going back to Umashu and doing all this stuff. I'm a little worried that we're going to replace Ba Sing Se.
I
will
combine upset.
I will also be a little upset at that. I mean, Ba Sing Se is, like, that's a huge part of, like, how the world has evolved. It's like, we don't talk about the war in Ba Sing Se. There's no war in Ba Sing Se, right? Like,
it's the major culture of...
The Earth Kingdom.
The Earth Kingdom, And that's where Toph comes from, isn't it?
No, she comes from. They run. It's not from Ba Sing Se.
I thought she was like from the outskirts of Ba Sing Se.
Maybe the outskirts. I'm not sure. Yeah, she runs away from home though. From the
Toph. I mean, we're gonna.
We have to get Toph.
Yeah, get
Toph. I hope they get the. I hope they get the blindness right and the sensing of the movements. Yeah. I hope that's
She's gonna really sense cool. through love. Okay, she only sense. She's like a badger ball. She can only sense love. Okay,
smell it. She got a good sense of smell. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah. I will say there are a lot of things that I want to happen. Mm-hmm. I want to see the bloodbending. I want to see Toph. What I do not want to see, and this might be a hot take, I don't want to see Appa get lost, okay?
Yes, why? That episode.
It's the whole like kind of end of season two.
Yeah.
It's like a major plot point, and I think it's just very upsetting to me, it just... I don't know. I don't want to see it.
Yep. It's an easy one to skip. They don't love having Appa on screen for more than 3 seconds.
I know. So I'm kind of hoping that they'll just skip it.
Yeah.
I saw a really funny comment on Reddit that the joke was like, they cost too much as actors. You have to pay them too much. And that's kind of true in a weird way.
It is.
it's like having Brad Pitt come to set. You can't do that. It costs too much money, right? You can't have Appa and Momo come to set.
Because it costs too much money.
Yeah, you just kill him. Kill him with a rock.
Kill him with a rock.
Oh,
and
my God.
We don't have the budget to do other things, and we can spend a whole thing of putting him in the pool. That was weird. It was weird.
We don't have to animate him. We just give Sokka like a really believable like fur puppet.
A tuft of hair. They'll just keep putting tufts of
literally,
hair.
Whenever he was walking into the Oasis, I was like, is he just carrying a blanket? Like, what?
I will say something we've hinted at already, you know, the opposite of the Ba Sing Se thing, that we've hinted at the fact that we're coming back to Umashu. That was kind of weirdly missing from the animated show. We didn't really see a lot of the conquest of Umashu. We went back, right?
We saw it, but, like, it was already conquered.
It was already conquered, and that happened in this show as well, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
We went to get King Bumi, and he was like, no, I'm good, and then he puts himself back in the conveyor belt, and he's like, and you're like, you know, bends himself away or whatever, but, like, I would like to see that developed a little more. Something with Umashu, but craziest prediction.
Craziest prediction for just season two or for all of it?
Season two.
Season two. Okay. Okay.
Craziest prediction.
Aang doesn't learn any bending.
I don't like that.
I don't like it, but I like the prediction. I don't like the idea, but I like you having that as a prediction.
Toph doesn't actually teach him earthbending either.
Yeah, I mean,
and then someone makes it. Someone says the line, two elements of bending. It doesn't have quite as a ring to it, does it?
Yeah.
Every season we just lose one element.
Sorry, I had to.
Craziest prediction, we don't see the spirit world again.
Oh, that would be heartbreaking. Okay.
The
craziest thing that could happen, but could also be plausible, maybe.
Yeah. Yes,
I could see that.
All right, craziest prediction. Because the actors still look a little too young, they completely ignore the Katara Aang love story that's starting. In season three, they pretend like it's been happening the whole time.
Oh, I'm going to be so mad.
But I think they might get to the point where they earnestly look too young or they don't have time. I think they'll completely ignore the romance and then put it all in season.
No. The writers and producers are secretly Zoot Katara fans. And
that's
really
it. That's it.
I could see the.
We get the ship that makes more sense anyway.
If we go to Ba Sing Se, I could see maybe we completely avoid. There's no war in Ba Sing Se like that.
Really?
Yeah, that's like not
brainwashed up.
Brainwashed.
None of that's part of it at all. Like it's just a prison, and they imprison Iroh and. Or Zuko or whatever, and it's kind of like that wasn't the first season. We just ignore that whole element because it is kind of deep, a conspiracy theory. We have to explain all that. That's a lot of details to hit. And the Dai Li, you remember that?
Yeah.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we'll
not
see.
Bad. But the Dai Li's so cool, man.
I know. I hope they do it.
They throw hands. Literally, you want to throw some hands? And they're like, yeah, we'll throw hands.
Oh, no, they're
hands are so cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. The idea to me, like the Fire Nation, it very much has that I like World War II stuff, but it's like very much like they have superior scientific research. They have, the superior element. They have all of these things that make them like very, very good at war.
Yeah.
So
the drill. Oh, what if they avoid the drill? The drill's ignored completely.
That's real expensive.
That is real expensive. Yeah. Interesting. Okay. That sounds good.
A lot of possibilities.
Let's look back really fast and do what we do with every episode. Let's think about Sokka, Snacks, and MVP for the whole season. Oof. Think of the season as a whole. I know there's a lot of moments to think about. I have one off the top of my head, actually.
I do too, but you go first. I wonder if you're going to take it. Go for it.
My Sokka snack, as I've said this a bunch of times before, was the Earth Kingdom, the Earthbender scene, the soldier in Iroh. Mm. That was my favorite scene, I think, in the whole series. That shocked me and was really good. It told us so much. It told us the world's at war. It told us the Iroh has changed. It told us that he used to be brutal. There was a lot of sort of secondary exposition that happened from that, like through the dialogue there. And I loved this.
Yep.
I thought it was fantastic.
Mine is the flashback in the Fire Nation where we hear the instrumental, Tears in the Vine, and or Leaves of the Vine, whatever it's called. And Zuko talking to Iroh about how your son died and that's sad. And then all the way up to Iroh saying, everything I need is on this boat. That section.
Yeah.
That's the moment when I'm like, okay, they're in it. They locked
it. That might have been the best line in the whole series, honestly.
Yep.
Everything I need is on this boat.
Yep.
Good stuff. Okay, you got one?
I mean, those two are probably, I would say the funeral. But also everything that Eric said.
Yes.
If I were to say what moment made me the happiest in the, just offshoot, the Secret Tunnel song made me very happy. Made me happy to just hear it.
It was fun, nostalgic. It wasn't depicted quite the way that we expected, but
and
it was nostalgic.
I was quite happy with it. In the retelling of Omashu in the two lovers, yes. I liked it.
Alec, how about you?
I don't know. I've gone back and forth so many times.
I know.
I think honestly, the Sokka snacks. The casting has been pretty good. I really think that the writing was a little tough, I think, the first couple episodes. And then it really found its way.
Yeah.
You know, the overall balance between giving us what we want and what they know that we want while also making it their own, I think is something that they could have very easily fell on their face with. And I think we can all agree that at the end of it, while we have our little gripes and we have our things, overall, it was a great experience. And there's a reason that they're getting a second and third season. And
yeah,
it feels justified. Especially for Netflix, who's very good at canceling things.
I know. I'm shocked they didn't cancel it, honestly. I guess the numbers did it. Like it's always really... Like,
wait, now still it, I mean, good. They've canceled things they've ordered.
Eric,
I'm just trying to make sure they don't put the cabbages before the cart, whatever. You know what I mean?
No, like, I know.
My cabbages.
Dude, that actually might be another saga snack. My cabbages guy reveal was 10 out of 10.
That was pretty great.
It was 10 out of 10. That was great. The way they built up to it.
And it was the guy. Too.
Okay.
It was the guy. Yeah, that was great.
That's cool. Change mine. Sokka and Suki. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Well, I'm like so excited to see Suki again.
She was wonderful.
That like I'm ready for it.
Yep.
MVP of the season for you guys.
Zuko.
I mean, yeah, that's the obvious.
Open, close.
Answer.
Zuko, man. Like,
I will go. I'll steal Zhao from Alec.
I'll take Iroh. Sorry, Alec.
Wait, so hang on. You're telling me Zuko's gone, Iroh's gone, and Zhao is gone.
You got Fire Lord Ozai and Azula
going the full sweep. Snooze, you lose, Alec.
No, I think the Fire Nation is definitely the best. You know, they gave them the most screen time.
Episode one, everybody.
They did,
and it you know, it shows. Like, we have the most emotional ties with the Fire Nation. So, you know, if I had to pick somebody that like for my MVP, I mean it has to be Zuko. Like it just there's nobody else. You've already picked him, and I feel like I should pick somebody else. So I will give it to Sokka. I feel like Sokka was very good. He was what I expected. He was kind of ad libby and fun. He gave the comic relief in a very serious version of the show, which I don't think any of us kind of expected to be this serious.
Yeah.
You know, so having that character and giving him, you know, whether some of it's the written lines or some of him ad-libbing, but, you know, what's his name? Ian did a very good job portraying Sokka. And overall throughout the series, I really didn't have any, like, major flying cows with him at all. And he was great standalone, but he was also incredible when he was with Suki or with Yue. Like, he does a great job of playing off the other actors that they have come in.
It's good casting, I think. Yeah. Of the original three,
he's the perfect. Avatar,
oh, yeah, Sokka's the best.
I think he's the best.
Out of those three.
Yeah. For sure. I think the other two still have some growth to do, but I don't think it's a bad call at all. Mm-hmm. It's a good one, I think, actually.
Like it a lot?
I think that's going to be it. This is the closure of several fun things, right? This is the closure of Utini Avatar Show, season one of this show. This is the end of our first real test of branching outside of Star Wars into a kind of other nerd fandom a little bit. I had fun with this show overall. This was a fun experience.
Like, it was fun.
Yeah.
Getting together with your friends and talking about something that's so nostalgic. Just
Alex in a burst out of his pants.
Gosh dang it, I got to have a second MVP. I'm sorry.
Who is it?
Gyatso.
Gyatso. We forgot about him.
Lim K Su. That is, I think, this is the actor's name. Yeah, dude, incredible. Every time he's on screen, only person on screen who like made Gordon as Aang seem like he really had it down. You know, like them playing
that
on
is
the show
true.
Is awesome.
Great scenes.
Okay, sorry. I just had to say, ow. I just hit my elbow so
What a great ending note.
I heard that.
Masterful.
I think that shows like how excited we've been about this show. It's like we've been bouncing off of each other and we've been like naming all these characters, but then we're like, oh yeah, and this character and this character. Yeah. It's been really exciting to talk about.
Any final closing thoughts before we finish up our final episode of the Avatar show?
Fire Nation was right. Fire Nation supremacy. there's a reason that they conquered the nations. The Avatar will fall and fire will rain.
Jesus. All right. Wow. Caitlin, final thoughts?
Eric, get out. No, I'm just really excited to see where it goes, and I'm excited to get into the Earth Kingdom.
Alec, what about you?
My final thoughts have nothing to do about the show necessarily. Just you know, truthfully, like, this is my first podcast on the UTini Network. I've done some things in the past, but it's been a while. I've really, really enjoyed spending time with all three of y'all and getting to watch the show together. You know, hopefully we'll get to do some more things. Definitely season two and season three, if they don't take 5 years and we don't all have like three kids and, you know, doing different things in life. But, you know, this has been a wonderful experience. You know, if we had one viewer, if we had 500 viewers, you know, I would do this every day. This has been a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
Really enjoyed it. It's given me a fresh take on the show. I think we can all agree that, you know, watching something alone, it's very easy to be negative. But when you come together and you really talk it out and you realize how much fun you've had, you get to feed off the other energy. So I hope that people that are listening and, you know, have stuck with us through all of these episodes, if you're still here, feel the same way. You know, I mean, I love listening to podcasts, and part of the reason I love listening to podcasts is because I want to have people to talk to about it. And if I don't have people to talk to about it, then I can listen to other people talk about it. And I still feel like I get to hear and feel the energy that other people have. So this has been wonderful. And, you know, hopefully we can do something again in the future soon and, you know, go on to season two when it comes out.
Love it.
It's rare as an adult, I think, that you get to look back at something so nostalgic to your childhood and like remember the experience and kind of relive that in a way. And, you know, I think I've said this 1,000 times, that is like the whole purpose of UTini, is to find the things that you love and unabashedly celebrate them. And if this is the first show you've ever listened to from anything in the UTini Network, this is our thing. This is our vibe. We talk about fandom and we have a good time and we try to be as positive as we can. And, you know, we just recognize that, like, how much effort and nuance it takes to really look for the joy and the good in things. But I can assure you, if you seek to do that and live your life that way, like, and you consume media in that way, you will have a better experience. And it's just fun to, you know, you don't have to be a shill, but it's fun to look for the things that you love rather than kind of latching on to the things that you dislike. It takes a lot more effort. It's a lot more difficult. It's like following the light side in Star Wars. The dark side is the easy path, right? But, you know, if you can find joy in the things that you love, then you will turn out to be a better person. And on that note, that's going to do it for this week's episode of the UTini Avatar Show. If you're looking for other fun shows, be sure to check out the rest of our lineup in the UTini Network. Again, a special thank you to everyone who has supported us so far in our Patreon community. Brian Dooley, Carl Sander, Michael Fry, and Raymond Bozinski on our High Council, and James T., Ashley Ingalls, Colton Fife, and Chris Carrizo at our Captain tier. Thank you guys for your amazing support. Huge shout out to our behind-the-scenes folks, Kyle, making us sound good, my fellow host, and for Wes for the UTini Network support. To our fantastic listeners, our friends, you guys are really the heart of this community. It's your story, your voices, your passions. That's really what makes this thing special, and I wouldn't have it any other way. All right, that's going to be it for us. Let's keep exploring, keep sharing. We'll keep having a great time together. We will see you when the UTini Avatar Show returns. See you next time. Support for this show and all UTini Network podcasts comes from the United Patreon community. At the heart of the UTiniverse, the United is where our most passionate fans gather to deepen their journey through the worlds of Avatar, Star Wars, and the broader universe of nerd culture and sports. By joining the United on Patreon, you gain access to an exclusive realm filled with content that takes you behind the scenes of our YouTube channel, provides ad-free listening of all of our podcasts, and offers regular insider updates. More than just a content hub, United is a vibrant community. Through organized events, we create connections, fostering a space where every voice is heard and valued. By becoming part of the United, you're not just supporting us, you're enhancing a community dedicated to celebrating and exploring our passions together. To start your journey, visit patreon.com/UTini. Together, we can build a stronger community, united by our love for these incredible fandoms. Thank you for your support, and remember, the adventure continues in every episode of The Avatar Show and across all UTini Network podcasts.